For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 158. The official cause of accident is pussy. Fine, I did it. See? I fucking did it.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston!
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
This is Bluonic.
And I'm Tag.
And we apologize about the little bit of noise that's happening in the background right now. There's just so much construction going on around this here kingdom.
And OCD crackheads. Let's just
OCD crackheads with jackhammers. Yeah. What's more of a terrible thing out there?
Just doesn't get any easier.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's life.
Yeah, speaking of not getting easier, did you hear about that clown that got arrested for soliciting her sex?
Oh, God. Well, I'm not surprised.
Wait, literally a clown?
Yes, okay. A clown.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So remember, if a clown ever offers to twist something into a poodle for you, make sure he's not talking about his penis.
Yeah, that might be wrong.
Just some weird, crazy shit happening, and it's that time of the year, of course. It's Halloween. That's when, like, the weird news is happening.
Yeah, look at Salem and all the junk that goes on there. I'm sure there'll be something horrible if it hasn't happened already in the next few days. But a hurricane should put a dampener on a lot of this.
Yeah.
The alleged hurricane, of course. We're talking about that bitch, Sandy.
Well, basically, what's going on right now is, this is Saturday that we're recording this podcast. But more or less, all the whole setup that's going on is we don't know where the storm's going to hit, how it's going to hit, and by the time it hits, it's going to ruin everybody's friggin' Halloween anyways. So that's why people are living it up Saturday night at Salem, and it's going to just be an absolute shit show. So
right.
Traffic right now is horrible in the area, obviously.
Oh, yeah, trust me. Like, when I've had to go into work a couple hours early just so I wouldn't be late.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
But you know exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be the epic rainstorm of 2012. We will never forget it. Knocked over 3 trash cans and flooded some guy's basement. And that'll be the maximum that this hurricane is.
Yep. So that's basically the amount of damage that we had when we had that little earthquake a couple
of years ago. Oh, yeah. I threw a picture right up on Facebook with a trash can knocked over. It said, 2012, earthquake we shall never forget.
Yeah. And it's going to smash the pumpkins before the little teenage degenerates smash them for you.
Yep. It's going to be ridiculous. So.
Yes. Very ridiculous.
All right.
Well, before we begin, we have a couple of shout-outs to give to some people. First off, to the lovely duo known as Matt the Band for Skyping in with me for doing that awesome interview that you can listen to right now.
Yep. And thank you for the nightmares.
Come on, listen.
Listen, I don't do drugs. I've never done drugs. I don't doubt that they don't do drugs, but I'm just saying that what I saw on stage was absolutely scary. Very scary, but I do have to say their music is pretty interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And they were music videos are pretty fucking scary.
Well, that's the thing about that music video with the guy's head exploding. They had no control over that video. It was some guy who said, hey, Canon... The company Canon is going to be shit tons of money to test out this video camera. I'm going to make a music video for you, and I'm going to show it to them. And turns out, the people at Canon love exploding heads.
Okay.
Who would have thought that exploding heads wasn't amazing?
Yeah, no shit.
Yes.
Okay.
And the other shout-out we got to give to our man, Brer Rabbit from Flowbot, sitting down with us.
That was amazing to be able to sit down with that evil genius that he has. I mean, it's not really evil, it's just genius.
Yes.
That's the funny thing is like he said he taught at one point. I was like, I don't know how much money I'd pay, a lot of money, I could say, to sit in a room and just listen to him like teach a class or something.
Along yeah,
like, because he was amazing. I mean, your brain and skull fragment was all across the wall because of the in an imaginary sense because of how he explained X-Men.
I was not expecting
I don't want to say it on here because if you want to understand what we're talking about, you have to listen to the podcast.
Exactly. Now. Like I was like punched in the face by how intelligent of a conversation
it was. It was absolutely beautiful. Everybody's jaw was like dropping in the room and it was just amazing. So if you want to check that one out, just scroll down a little bit. It's like, what, four or five ones down right
now?
Yeah,
probably.
So you can just go and check it out, you know, and it, just listen to it, and you'll be like, holy crap. It's amazing what they've done.
Now, see, what would be fantastic is if he and Tom Morello got together and taught, like, a political science class.
Oh, man. Him and Johnny Five, I think all three of them would be amazing together.
Well, Tom Morello's got the actual Harvard degree that...
Well, yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying, all together, they would be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, we're still speechless over it.
Oh, yeah.
Usually, after an interview, I play back in my head, okay, could I do it any better? I was like...
Did I do anything wrong? He was just so dumbfounded, he couldn't say anything really after that fact.
Yeah.
He was just like, I have to listen to this again. I have to listen to the first 10 minutes of it.
I was like,
how the hell did this just happen?
Yeah, I was like... I graduated magnum cum laude.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel stupid right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. But it was a fantastic show. All three acts that we saw, we
all
were just blown away.
So let's go down the line here. We got the first act was...
HW and DJ Emo Beta.
Yep. And then
Astronautilus was the second
one. Astronautilus, which was kind of funny because while we're doing the interview, he was sitting in the corner... And he was just, like, sitting there typing and smiling and doing all that other stuff. And then when he came out on stage, I was like, oh, crap, that guy was kind of right next to me a little while ago. And then he just broke out on the stage, and I went, holy sh... There was a lot of people there, actually.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of people for them, but I think because of the that's the other thing that I have that I hate about the Cambridge setup is how the MBTA system runs.
Mm,
so I felt that...
It's the same
like,
with me. I hate it.
So I felt that, like, there wasn't as many people... For Fullbots, because of the fact that the whole, you know, transit system, they had to get out of there.
Yeah.
By the time Fullbots started, it was like 11:20-ish, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So...
I would say about, like, right near midnight when people started, like, leaving. But I would say, like, 85% of the club was still packed.
Yeah. So what I felt is like, I think, like, as a suggestion to TT and the Bears and maybe in the Middle East, to maybe just bring it back a little bit, you know, like, let's say... start the show at 8:30 instead of like having to start the show later, so people can. It doesn't matter if the people show up; they'll end up showing up anyways. But I'm just saying in the sense that you know they won't be too worried about missing the first act because nobody ever misses really the first act except they were actually pretty good.
Yes,
that. It was more of like it was kind of a throwback to I felt like the 80s kind of style.
Rap. A little bit.
It was very interesting. I did like their whole little setup.
Yeah, his style of hip hop reminds me a little bit of rapper Shingo Too, who I've played on the radio show many times, and I was blown away by his. I mean, he apparently has like all these like releases on Bandcamp. He's got like I forget if it's like 8 or 9 CDs already.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, he's probably one of those guys who just can't stop recording and is just releasing everything.
Hey, that's more power to them because most of the time I feel that a lot of musicians are stunted. Like, when they go in and they create that first album, they're just stuck on tour the whole time.
Yeah.
And most of the time they can't record a damn thing until they're like, oh, good, we're finally done with that tour 5 years later. So, crap, I don't even know where my music went to. Where did my notes go? What did happen? Where is this shit?
Mm-hmm.
So they can't really.
You have
like,
to promote the album, and that's
exactly.
Where they make their money too. Usually, is concerts.
Right.
Well,
that's the point that Brer Rabbit made.
Yeah, the system of it is that like they sell the CDs or they sell the music online and stuff like that, and the band only gets a small percentage of whatever they make on that aspect, really, because they already pay them out on that one, and then they put the money towards them to go and do the tour, and then they go and do the tour and they make the money that way. So it's how it goes, but more or less. Like, when we talked to Brer Rabbit, his view of everything on that aspect was amazing.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yet again, don't want to ruin it.
Right, exactly. If you would like to listen to that podcast, please go on to www.b3crew.com. It will be right down for like the fourth or fifth one. Or you can subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yep. All right, so more or less, there was that, there was Astronautis, and then Phobots, and it was an awesome...
That whole thing that Astronautis did where he was doing a whole freestyle.
Yeah, he took what?
He took suggestions, like six suggestions.
There was one that was Martha Stewart, yep. And there was Orange Fingernail Polish, Wolverine's Stuntman, and then I forget after that. There's two or three more after that.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Breaking Bad about, you know, methamphetamines and another one. The whole setup of the concert was pretty nice. I've never been in TT and the Bears, so
yeah,
it was kind of a...
Yeah, I've been there a few times for like the Japan Night concerts. I've seen Hunter Valentine there. I've seen a couple other performers too.
Yeah, you said that they actually tore down a wall that used to be somewhere.
Yeah, that whole back section that's all empty used to be the whole sound system, but I guess they moved that sound system to the right behind another closed area.
Yeah.
And they added a bar too, which was very surprising. A second bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So amazing setup for a venue when it comes down to it.
Yeah, it's actually not a bad deal. I mean, what? They fit about, what, 250 in there?
Yeah, those places are usually really cramped.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, like, let's put it this way. If you take the Middle East has two separate spots. They have the upstairs, yes. They have the downstairs. The upstairs is probably about 200 people easily.
Yep.
And that's a small little cramped area. But yeah, they still do a pretty good job. But then, like, downstairs, that one is at least 400.
Yeah, but
I want to say 350, 400.
Yeah, but there's a problem with the one downstairs is the fact that it doesn't have good air conditioning. So you're like sweating like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
All throughout the show.
But the beautiful thing about that is at least you can go over and get cups of water and stuff like that.
Yeah, for free.
Not die, you know, of like heat exhaustion. But yeah, like I've been down to the downstairs in the Middle East and I usually like that a little bit better. That's where I originally saw Phobots. That's where we together saw Phobots originally been. And they did an amazing job. All together, like with the venues and whatnot, those are all really good venues. And I just wish they were a little bit bigger, or at least the acts that we were watching were in a lot of bigger venues.
Right. Well, there's that new one that just opened up in Cambridge, the Sinclair, and I've seen pictures of it, and it looks very beautiful, looks very spacious. And I'd be curious to see a show there just to see, okay, how does this compare with all the other ones?
Yeah, but I would have rather have seen these two, the recent acts that we were watching, like, you know. Besides Phobots, like we saw, you know, P-Liner Z and all them, like play at like the House of Blues.
Yeah,
like I want them to play at those bigger venues, and then maybe one day at TD at the
TD Garden. Yeah,
North. Ooh,
well, it's not called. Yeah, well, that's the thing. When Phobots came out, we assumed that a couple years down the line they'd be selling out the Garden.
Yeah,
because that's how good they are.
Yeah. No, that place I went and I saw Tool there, and that, it was just ridiculous. As much as I like that place, though, it's the stadium, you got seats and stuff. I want to be jumping, I want to pit, and when I did the Tool thing, they set seats up, and they're very strict with their rules.
Well, that's the thing, when I saw the Black Keys of Pandalicious, they didn't have seats down there, they had a pit.
Ugh, they need pits.
But no, that's the only problem about that now is Massachusetts has the issue with the mosh pitting and stuff.
We like don't that. Want people having fun.
They were slapping. Well, they don't it's want like people to get injured because of the fact that that's how people have gotten injured and stuff like that. Like one of our previous members of the group went and knocked somebody over and broke their friggin' kneecap.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to have to say, I mean, okay, yes, it's good, but I think there are people that go overboard. I mean,
yeah. Yes. No, there are always people that go overboard, but usually a crowd is pretty good when it comes to controlling some guy who's an a-hole.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, that's part of the rock scene, has always been the pit and always been the excitement and the energy of the place, and it's
that,
just
like
they're trying to kill that specific part.
They can do crowd. Yes. You can still do crowd surfing, but you can't do crowd diving.
Yeah.
So right. More or less, somebody can. You could pick somebody up, and then they could crowd surf. Or
but you're not climbing up on the stage.
You can't.
Diving.
Yeah, you can't run out and just do a dive or do a Drew Bledsoe or injure somebody.
Even though they were doing that at the Middle East upstairs.
yeah, but that's because they're Japanese and they didn't care.
Yeah.
All they have to do is scream Banzai, and everybody knows just. Just catch them.
The question is, how much of these rules going to be enforced when it comes down to that?
Well, depending on the venue and depending on the security there, because believe me, when that I felt like that guy, even though how big that guy was at the upstairs at for
P-Lander
Z, he could not control that crowd no matter what he did.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any way possible that you could have controlled that because of how crazy they went. But yeah, I mean, you would need probably about 40 to 50 people just to take care of that kind of a crowd.
Yeah, you'd need like a circle of people around the crowd.
Yeah, and as long as it doesn't, like, they don't shut these things down because of it, because it's, I hate to see Boston become one of those places that people look at and just don't feel like going to. I want to see the local scene thrive in this area.
Agreed.
And look at some of the bands that have come out of this place.
So. Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And because a lot of these rules are enforced, some people are turned off by it. I mean, that's why it took Nine Inch Nails, like, so many years to come back here, because Trent Reznor was pissed off at the Boston Garden.
Yeah, that's why that's the first thing I said, though, is with the Garden, I sit there and go, well, what are the people who run the Garden going to do when it comes down to it? And I know they can be strict, like really strict sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does depend. We need an outdoor stadium is what it comes down to.
We do.
That's in our local backyard, not having to drive all the way to Mansfield to do it.
Yeah, if only they didn't tear down Manning Bowl.
Yeah, Manning Bowl was a great
Manning
place.
Bowl doesn't have access, though. If you were to try to fill up Manning Bowl in the Lynn area...
Well, they did Aerosmith before. They did
Rolling Stones' first U.S. concert was in Lynn, Massachusetts.
They did all the try. It's just the pure fact that when you look at all the major places, they're right next to a highway, and you can get off and get into the place within 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Here you have to go through normal Lynn and then go through part of downtown Lynn, and the traffic's horrible enough that's why I think Manning Bowl is kind of sad. I'd love to see a nice major place along the highway open up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a suggestion I have is take Wonderland.
Yeah.
I think if they took Wonderland and revamped it and turned it into an outdoor arena that promoted music and maybe a couple other sporting events here and there, I think that would bring in a lot of good revenue and a lot of great artists.
Well, we could take the dog track.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying.
Well, no, I mean, like, the dog track that because of the fact that they're trying to do it in a casino thing, if you could beat them out to get that instead of doing the casino aspect, yeah, you could do that setup.
Well, you could do both. I mean, look at Mohegan Sun.
No. I don't think the casino thing's going to help us at all.
The politicians aren't going to go for it right now. We still got to get all the people out of office that are there right now and get people who understand what's going on.
And then the economy is just absolute shite anyway, so they're not going to do it because people are going to be even more poor now.
But by the time our generation's in to fix all the stuff that we want, there'll be another generation that'll be like, well, what about all this stuff that we like?
Yeah, exactly.
They'll be saying the same thing about us. It's a never-ending cycle.
Yep, it's an
never-ending
cycle. Just like the movie we saw.
Yes.
But all together, I want to say the concert for Flowbots, I could rate that at like 4.5 out of 5 easily.
Agreed.
It was awesome.
Not a bad act.
Yeah,
they're
an awesome act. It's just sucks that they had to kind of finish early because they didn't get on stage because of the sound check guy.
Yeah.
That guy really fucked everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's always that guy.
Yeah. Yes, there's always that guy. There's always one guy there to fuck up everything perfectly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, on to the next thing.
All right, so how do we explain this film that we just saw? Cloud Atlas from the Wachowskis and the director of Run Lola Run.
All right, basically what I could say is if you took a shotgun through like about through bucks if they were buckshot and throw stories on them and you just basically shot it at a wall and then you figured out what landed on what part of the dartboard. That's basically what this movie is.
There's like 6 different stories.
I felt like
it's it's like a mini movie that the binding between them is extremely loose. So you're basically, if you see this movie, you say, I want to see like 5 to 6 different short films. I forget how many there were, but
but they all have like some sort of connection with one another.
Characters at most. They had 2 plot lines from what it seemed, and they were both. 2 of them kind of followed each other closely, but other than that, the other ones were separate for the most part.
Well, you notice that everything like has some sort of connection, like the little button or that gem.
That's what I said, the loose connections. Right.
And that's how it's all connected.
You could have easily separated this and been like, does anybody want to come see six short movies? And everybody would have like, okay, and nobody would have ever linked them together.
It kind of, it's very reminiscent of what Robert Rodriguez did with Sin City, where he linked all these, like, three different stories together, but you could all separate them easily.
Yeah. But I was sitting there thinking about this, driving back, and it's the Wachowski brothers, they made The Matrix. And The Matrix, the first one, was amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And it had, like, if you looked, it had references to the Bible, and it had references to basic how you tell a story, and the, like, what Lord of the Rings does with the hero's adventure and everything. And they had all these undertone things, and the Wachowski brothers, it seems, ever since then, have been trying to mimic that. So The Matrix 2 and 3, instead of doing all these undertones, literally said, we're going to name our characters after the Bible.
Yeah.
And this movie's come up 100%. I was sitting there watching it. It's like, okay, you're making average movies, trying to link them together at best, and it was a lot following the hero's journey. So when it came down to it, it's them... they're trying too hard.
Well, the other thing that kind of confused the shit out of me was is the fact that, yes, there was Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Hugo Weaving, and just go through the friggin' list. But I'm just saying, like, it's just one of those things where I didn't know if there was a connection between them, besides Hugo Weaving's. Hugo Weaving's character seemed to have one big connection. He was a big, giant douchebag.
Yes.
So, and that's the thing is, Hugo Weaving is the greatest... actor of doing that. I mean, hell, he was also in, you know, The Matrix, and he was playing Agent Smith, you know, who became...
He was also V in V for Vendetta.
Yeah, V for Vendetta, he played kind of like...
He's good friends with the Wachowski brothers.
There's a lot of ass-grabbing between those. But for the most part, I'm just saying that, like, his character scheme and stuff like that, you could tell who he was. Not one of his characters, I could tell, weren't good. Like, all of his characters seemed bad.
Yes.
But then there's, like, there's the mixture between, like, Tom Hanks' character. One, he's, like, a doctor back in, like, what, the colonial age style thing.
Yep.
And then another point where he's, like, he's another kind of scientist in, like, the 70s or something.
He played every character.
He played a lot of characters.
He played two good guys. He played a bad guy. And then he played a neutral guy.
Yes.
You didn't notice the bellhop was completely useless.
Yes.
Why did he make an appearance just to link that to everything else?
And then he was also the lookalike in the movie, the cadaver... The ghastly ordeal of Timothy Cavendish.
And he
says it the most, like, epically, but in the real life, he just said it so...
Well, now, when you looked at one of those cannibals and everybody was in face paint, did anybody notice Agent Smith in any of those? Because I wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
No, he was actually Haskell Moore. He was the one at the end saying, you better think this through. Better think for your grandfather, your grandchildren.
I knew they'd sneak him in there somewhere. He was one of the only...
Halle Berry was the native woman, though.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. That was an easy one to pick out there. Yeah. But it's hard to really say. This is like, because of how the story were interjected and whatnot, I can't really tell. It's too hard to really kind of place this movie.
It's one of those films where a lot of people have been saying this. It's one of those things you got to watch a couple times to really piece everything together perfectly.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, I'm sure there are cameos throughout, but the main question I keep on coming up with when I... Like, it was an average movie. I feel like you almost have to rate each one by itself. But you look at it, and it's obvious that you're trying to make this big, synchronous movie in between multiple stories, and I don't know if they tried too hard. I don't think they got...
A lot of the transitions were a bit too hard. Or too harsh. So? Like, they were, like, I mean...
I felt some of them fit really coolly, like...
One or two were okay. I felt that they did okay with the transition. But some of the transitions, they were like... It felt like a big fucking picture was getting unleashed right there. And you're like, okay! And then it would cut off to, like, future, like... What is it?
South Korea.
Neo-Saul. And then, like, then it would go back to another part. And you're like, what the hell just happened? Like, how did that... What the hell is going on in that situation to make them switch off like that and then come back about 15 minutes later? Like, when they had that whole thing with the Neo-Saul about the waitresses... the waitresses or...
What? Yes,
are they waitresses?
Yeah, the waitresses.
Yeah, so more or less they were waitresses, but they were all, like, you know, whatever, workers, and they all look the same, or for some
fucking weird reason.
They were engineered.
But, yeah, they were engineered to look that way.
So that whole setup was is that they were able to keep getting crap taken or whatever the hell they were doing. But yet, on that aspect, when she finally figures out that thing, she was basically like friggin' Neo. She was basically Neo from Matrix. She was the one that was like the one that got her eyes wide open and whatnot. They basically recreated the Matrix just because of the workers.
Right.
Yeah, in one of them. So the setup with that one, you know, they had that whole part where she was just about to find out the stuff what that was going on the boat, and they cut her out for like a whole 15 friggin' minutes because they were trying to explain all the other bullshit that was going on in the stories.
It's pretty cool bullshit though.
I don't know. It's the same effect you get when you watch shows like Lost or Battlestar Galactica or any of the other. You find the couple of things, you're like, okay, I care about these two movies the most. These other ones I really don't care about, and I despise this one.
Yeah.
And that's what you kind of get with this, is you're going to go into the movie, and you're going to find the stories that you like, and there's so many of them, you can easily find, I love this one, I don't really care about these, and I hate this.
Right.
And it's sad that, because you go into most normal movies, and you only really have one main plot with maybe a few subplots at most, and you don't really hate them. Certain ones, but I mean, the movie is so long and they're telling so many stories. It's just you're bound to get
but
that.
But that's the thing. Well, I don't know about you two, but when I was watching this film, I felt the time going by very quickly. I never once did I have to look at my watch going, Christ, how long is this movie going to be?
I passed out a little bit.
I felt that way. No, I definitely. I could have cared less about the music writer because his plot was all about writing music.
And but that was the whole Cloud Atlas thing that would tie everything together. If you know, that's the one big thing. That song is played in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but I'm sitting there looking at it. I was like, it doesn't appeal too much to me. I was sitting there. I was like, the future one, I'm in the sci-fi stuff and the like. And I was like, well, this is kind of going somewhere. But like with Lost, when I looked at it, with Jin and Sun's plot and stuff, it's like it starts off good. And then it starts to fall down for me. And if you look at something like Battlestar, that's... what's the other girl there? Boomer's plot that I sit there and watch. It's like, you were good for the first two seasons, and now you fell flat. So that's what I felt like halfway through hers. It's like, she can move on. The old guy was funny, the comic relief.
Yes, the...
Yeah.
The Tim B. Cavendish. That was I think that was my favorite.
Stuck in a retirement home. Yep, see, that's your favorite. I was like, oh, it's good to make me forget about the other ones. But when it came down to it.
Oh, come on, Hugo weaving and drag like that. How can you not like that?
That weird apocalypse one when they're kind of in the future and not with Tom Hanks, was it there? I don't know. The one when they're in the apocalypse future with, would chick with all white there.
Yeah, Tom Hanks was in that one.
That was my favorite by far.
Okay.
And I was sitting there watching, I was like, if they could have maybe built out this universe, I would have loved to have seen a movie based on just this, because it was so awkward and out there of a universe. But I don't know. The other ones, it's just, I didn't like the songwriter, and I didn't mind the other, but the other, they're forgettable. Almost have to grade each sub movie. I feel
right because this whole thing is based off of one book. So maybe if, instead of doing a whole full fledged movie, maybe if they had done it as like a mini series of sorts, and then you could have had your own pick of the litter of sorts.
Then you get something like Lord of the Rings, where you get each one that kind of links together, and then maybe at the end you could do something that links them all together if you really want to, but everybody will probably see that as a cash grab.
Yeah.
You're pretty much better off. This should have probably been five movies, each one about each specific character.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you couldn't get lost in the whole aspect of it, but, I mean, all together, it was a good movie. There was some really nice, you know, effects to that they put into the movie and whatnot.
Yeah. Some cool little symbolism stuff here and there.
Yeah, here and there. Yeah. I mean, I can only say that I don't know how many people are gonna officially like this movie or pass it on. I mean, especially having to walk out of the theater and then try to push a paper in my hand.
Right.
Tell us another thing. I'm like, I don't give a shit. No.
That was.
It's definitely one of those movies you really need to pay attention to. You can't walk out of film, like, to go take a piss.
I felt it was like achievements in video games to catch the links between them. It's, yay, you saw how this story has this extra link to this other story. But in the end, it was a whole bunch of short stories. I didn't need that. So it's like, by the end, I was like, I see a few witty links. Just get back to the, like, two stories that I care about.
I feel by the end of this movie that there was anything that was like, oh my god, that blew my fucking mind.
I mean, it didn't blow my mind, but I really enjoyed myself watching this
film. I was waiting for them to have that one moment flash with all the music and all the different flashes of different life, realize that they're all in this big system and repeating each other, and like, there really wasn't an overly huge moment when they realized that. It was just kind of subtle.
Right. It was kind of like that moment where it's like sheep, where Halle Berry's character goes like, you ever wonder when we're going to realize when we can't make the same mistakes over and over again?
Yeah, there might be. I get a small sense of deja vu. Let's move on from this and continue telling one of the like eight stories that we're running now.
Yeah. But I think when it comes out on Blu-ray or DVD, I think I would like to see him do what Robert Rodriguez did with the extended cut version of Sin City, where you can have the choice of watching the film full on as it is, the over 300 one, three-hour one, or you can watch each story all spliced together separately.
Yeah.
Which is what I really loved about the DVD release of Sin City.
Yeah, I don't think they needed to separate the stories with cutscenes and try to tell each portion, because it's like, okay, now we're getting to the part when the hero rejects the call, so I'm going to watch this happen once now and four other times after this. It's going to be the same exact thing.
Right, it's but just told in a different way.
Yeah, in each one of these. I don't know. I see the Wachowski brothers sitting there, both of them writing down this amazing story and going, this is going to be our masterpiece, and I don't see it going too far. You made something epically long and with way too much detail.
And you got a lot of people to sit there and watch it. That's basically what you did.
Yeah.
I don't know. The movie theater wasn't too packed.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that, like, well, not right now because of the Halloween aspect, because I know that that's going to be affecting their fucking cost, but
there's another downfall. You released it on a holiday, around a holiday time where everybody's going to be going out, having fun, going to parties and stuff. Mm-hmm. Their best saving grace is, or at least in our area, is the hope the hurricane drives people to watch movies because they got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
But I have a funny feeling people would be dressing up as cats and witches and just getting drunk and eating a lot of candy. They're fighting against the holiday. It's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah, it's almost impossible. That's why I hate it when movies are released on Christmas Day. I mean, because there really isn't going to be anybody going there. I mean, granted, there will be the people who don't celebrate Christmas going there, but that's the minuscule amount of people.
If they come out and they say that this is our big thing, I'd then pose them the question, well, why didn't you release this like in the rainy season of the spring when everybody's stuck in and can't wait to go out but has nothing better to do? Their timing on this release, at least for this movie, was
bad. And odds are all the kids are going to be like, oh, we're going to see the stupid Silent Hill 2 movie that came out.
Or Paranormal Poop.
Yeah, my nephew saw it and he said it was absolute crap.
Yeah.
Or Taken 2.
I say
Electric Boogaloo.
I say we should rate this sucker.
Okay. So I'm probably going to be going against these two here. I really enjoyed this film. I like these sort of movies. It didn't really tie everything together, but
you
never lost
the artist.
What?
You like the artist.
Yes, I love the artist. So I like these types of movies. I don't like the ones that make you go, what the fuck did I just watch? I like the ones that really just make you think afterwards. And okay, so some of the stuff will make you think afterwards. Some of the stuff in this film will not make you think afterwards. I really enjoyed it. I don't think it's going to win many awards. Maybe it might win some of like the sci-fi stuff here and there.
Visual aspect or something.
Visual aspect stuff. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Possibly I'll buy it when it comes out on Blu-ray. I'll give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Fucking knew it.
Hey, at least I didn't give it a 5.
I was going to give it I was thinking anywhere from like 4.5 to 4.7.
Forever? From you, yeah. From, no, yeah, I knew it.
Oh, yeah.
From the king, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm not just the type who enjoys the whole artistic films. I like the things that go explodey. I like many types of movies, so I get to rate them in such a way that I will rate them.
If you had
separately.
Movie ADD, this was the movie. You were watching five movies at the same time. So
I love the aspect of going to watch NFL Red Zone on a Sunday because it is the ADD of football. One minute they're on, like, you know, one of the games, and then the next minute they switched over to the other one, and you went, holy shit, what just happened? But that's basically what this movie was about. Do you want to rate first, Tank, or do you want me to go?
I think everybody knows my rating at this point. There were good parts. There were bad parts. There was meh. Mostly meh. I'm going to put it at the 3. I'm going to say that because if I were to think back and somebody would say this movie, I bet I'll remember 2 of the plots out of the whole group at most. The rest is forgettable. I'll probably remember the best one, and I'll probably remember the worst one.
Yeah, I mean, more or less, I'll give it a 3.6. And it's respectable, which is, in my opinion, that the movie was, you know, it was fair, but I did almost fall asleep, and I did have okay...
Wow, almost falling asleep rates for over a 3.6.
Yeah, I know.
I almost fell asleep, but 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I know.
Best fucking night of sleep I've ever had in my life.
Well, that's lately what's been going on. I mean, hell, with Colin Farrell there, and what the fuck movie was that?
Total Recall.
Yeah, Total Recall. That's going to be, when that comes out on DVD, that's going to be one of my nightcaps until Cloud Atlas comes out. So, yeah, that's perfect for me.
Alright. Let's put that one to rest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next.
Alright, so let's move on to video games, and I am so happy that Microsoft and Xbox have finally gotten into the whole free-to-play bandwagon. You're not.
I really don't care. It's Microsoft. They're the big, slow-moving troll. Oh, there's money over here. We'll go over here, but you're not going to expect innovation from them.
Okay, so they came out with one called Happy Wars from Toylogic, and it's got both single-player and multiplayer modes, and it's got this sort of massive tower defense slash hack and slash type of feel to the game.
Now, do you have to buy stuff with stupid Xbox Live points?
You can do that, or you can buy it with the money you earn in the game itself.
Yeah, no, I just see the point system is ridiculous. It's a way to hide the actual amount of money you're spending, and most of it's designed around, you can't quite waste that $10 that you sunk in that nice round amount of points. So now you have 12 points left. And how do you turn 12 into 0? You have to buy more points and keep on... It was something ridiculous. A survey was done on it to see how many points, if you were to go and try to buy different Xbox games for the amount of money you spend. It was something like you had to spend $250 to get your points count back to 0. A flat number.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's how I feel, too, about Sony PlayStation. I know it's money-wise, but I've never had 0-0 in my account for Sony.
I'd rather just spend real life money in something. I'd rather just say, up $13.50, sure. Not like, this is 250 points. Wow, that's a lower number than $13.50 for.
Yeah, I mean, I had that issue when I'm, especially like between the games that I play, like Rock Band and like with the music and stuff like that. Some of the stuff is like 120, 140 points or some shit like that, and then some other song, like a pack or something like that, it's like 250, and you're like, that doesn't...
You know, the conversion, it's ridiculous. They do a real good job at hiding how much you're actually spending.
I mean, basically,
and it scares me for free-to-play models.
This is the way that they make up for the whole aspect of like people doing pirated music and shit like that, because they're basically, just for you to download that song to play, it's almost like spending like $5 on each song.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but... But back to this game.
Yeah, let's get...
Seeing that this was a crackhead type game.
Yes, so it's one of those games, again, you have to move from your castle to the enemy's castle while defending your castle from the enemies, and then you can also build up totems or destroy enemy totems, so
it's
you can...
It's a tower defense.
Yeah, it's a tower defense. It is tower... I did say it's
tower
defense.
Is it tower defense?
Yes, it's a third-person tower defense game.
Ah.
I don't get that. I don't get it, because if it was tower defense, wouldn't you be on a tower shooting shit and not
You can
around?
Do that. No, you can
tower,
do that.
Tower defense is the enemies follow a path and try to blow up one of your forts, so you have to defend your fort by placing towers.
Yes.
Okay. Or something similar to
towers. So would this be a reverse tower defense? Because more or less the way I saw it was is... You would run at the at little totems or something like that. Then the little assholes would pop up. You kill the assholes, take over the totem, and then run to the next totem.
Well, that's because you play it in single player mode. In multiplayer mode, where you're playing online with like 30 other people at the same time, it becomes both teams going back and forth.
Is there one guy placing defenses that are automated?
I haven't seen any.
Right. Yeah, that's so what I'm saying. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
But you can set up the crossbow from on top of the tower and defend it from there. You can build like a ram, one of those little wooden rams to go through the, what's it called? The bridge or whatever it's called.
Break the drawbridge.
Yeah, you can break the drawbridge. You can actually burn down bridges to keep the enemy from coming towards your area for a limited amount of time. I want to say it lasts about like 30, 45 seconds before it pops up again, and then you have to destroy it again.
It's not persistent, right? Yeah. It's just small matches that happen over and over, not like I sign on. If I were doing it right now, it's one overarching world right now.
Right, it's all different matches happening at the same time, which is what's causing some server issues right now.
Alright, yeah.
Which they've already stated. If you go right on there right now, we say, we know that we're having some issues. We're working on them right now as we speak. And we promise this game will be up to par
as soon as possible.
But from what I played, it's a lot of fun. I'm not usually into this sort of MMO. Well, it's not MMO, but...
No, it's not even close.
No, it's not MMO. No, but I'm not usually into these sort of online games, but every time I've gone on, I've kind of lost track of time.
So the real question of Evan liked it or not, since it's free to play, is did you spend any money to play this?
Nope. I didn't spend a single Xbox point yet. I'm just going to play it as it states, free to play, which means I'm not going to put a single penny in there. I'm going to have everybody else do it. And yes, you might get the awesome weaponry first before me, because I would like to earn my keep.
The idea is if you like the game and you want to work towards something, you reward the game developers every now and then by buying something that's in their game.
Okay.
So do you feel the need to ever reward these developers at this point, or have they...
No.
Not at this point, later on, maybe.
I mean, when my computer never was able to really play games and stuff like that, but I'm just saying, like, I was able to play for a very short amount of time Battlefield Heroes. Yep. And I put money towards those guys, but the only thing that sucked was is you could buy guns, but they were on a monthly period. Like, you're basically renting the fucking gun out.
Yeah.
That pissed me off.
Yeah.
It's like, I bought that fucking gun, that should be mine.
Well, if you pay real life money for it, you should be fine with it.
No, you paid real life money for it.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to it, I played a game, Blacklight Retribution, a while back, and you could either spend real-life money to permanently unlock things, or if you wanted that time, you could quote-unquote rent equipment with their in-game currency. You could obviously use their in-game currency to permanently unlock it, but if you just wanted a quick, oh, I want this awesome gun for the next 24 hours, you give them some of your in-game currency to rent a weapon.
Uh-huh.
And it was just to the fact that it's like, okay, now I'm starting to like this game. I like to always have this gun, and maybe I think the devs should be rewarded with some money.
Yeah.
So I'll send some money their way. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what I already did. I'm liking the way PlanetSide has been working as I've been playing it. And I've already bought the thing that now their starter pack. I was in the beta. I got to play for free. I didn't spend money to get into the beta with buying their starter pack.
Right.
But I've already purchased into their like exclusive founding members club thing. Because it's like, I want the weapons. I want some of the extra cash. And I like the direction they're taking it.
And that's how I'm feeling about one of the other ones that's on the Sony the Dust 514.
Yeah.
And I'm liking it so far, but there are still a lot of bugs to the system that really need to be kinked out.
Well, they said it is beta, so you are technically testing the game. As soon as they say it's release, you have 100% right to just say, why the hell is this game broken? But everybody who goes into beta always has to keep in the back of their mind, this is not the finished product.
Right, but this is the finished product for Happy Wars.
Yeah.
So, and you can download it for free and give it a go. Like, I'm enjoying it so far.
All
right. I mean, it's not the best looking game. It's very cartoonish looking. You can see like
the pixels look like the crappy little drawings from Goo World.
The World of Goo?
Yeah, World
like
of Goo.
Happy Wars. What do you expect? They're happy and they're having wars.
Yeah, well, the characters don't talk. They only talk through like the bubble effect. Like it's almost it's just ugh.
Happy Wars. Yes. Do I have to keep on saying the name?
Yes, Happy Wars. Yeah.
Happy. Why do they keep on speaking like cartoons? Happy Wars.
Well, the characters look like that freaking Little Red Riding Hood fucking thing with the chainsaw at that one
point.
Yeah,
the fairy tale.
Not as clean, clean on the detail aspect.
Yeah, that's the thing that's keeping me from saying, okay, this is a great looking game. Is there's still some kinks in there. If this was released like 10 years ago, I'd be like, oh, this is one of the best looking games on there.
This is fucking amazing. Oh man.
But no, it doesn't look great. But it's free, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
And I've already made my characters look like myself and Bluonic and our current army girl, Pink Taco.
When the hell did you do that?
I did that in the game. You didn't notice.
You don't want to know what he's doing with your character.
You didn't notice that the mage looked kind of like you and the cleric looked like Pink Taco?
No.
Just be glad I didn't turn you into the cleric.
Oh, God. Damn it. I'm going to have to like start doing contract rights about my friggin' characters. Jesus. I might have to take you to court for that one. I'll sue your ass.
Right.
I'll sue your ass because your mom, you know, so I can, you know, get muffins from your mom on a daily basis. Those are good muffins.
Yes.
All right, anyways.
All right, so, next. All right. I'll rate the Happy War so far 4 out of 5.
All right. From what I played, 3.
Okay. Because you didn't play online.
I didn't fall asleep.
You're falling asleep. Well, it's a 3.6.
Yes.
Yeah. You didn't fall asleep, so it's obviously shit.
Okay, so Tag,
yep.
Tell us a little bit about this Game of Dwarves.
Well...
Oh, shit.
It's a game of dwarves.
Did you have to roll your tongue?
Is it going to be like the Hobbits movie that's coming out?
So for any of those people who are nerdy enough to have gone out there back in the day and currently to play the beautiful ASCII game Dwarf Fortress, yes, where your characters are like uppercase P's and D's. A long time ago, there was a game that was being made by a company. I shall look it up. The game was called a Dwarf Fortress. Yes, that's what I do. Bay 12 Games. It was an indie company. They made, in essence, in a DOS prompt window, an ASCII art game where you could watch pretty much, like I said, letters move around and then change and they'd all represent what your characters are. Now, this would all happen in real time, so yeah, it's kind of like a real-time strategy, kind of like SimCities, but it's a fairly small company that was making it. It was completely free. And the idea was, you started a settlement, you had your dwarves, more people would come in on occasion, you'd build up, dig into the ground, build up a fortress, but it's an ASCII game. How is it going? How do you dig? What do you do? Well, there were two buttons, and you could go up a level and down a level. So you could keep on digging down, I think it was like 150 levels, maybe even further. There was 150 or 250. I'm pretty sure 50 was in there somewhere in the number. And you'd basically build a fort, dig down, keep on collecting minerals, build better and better things. The farther down you went, the harder the monsters got, and you just made a settlement. And ever since then, everybody's been trying to copy kind of the similar thing. You get stuff like Minecraft and the like that obviously was inspired by it. I'm building a castle, I'm digging around, I'm doing stuff, except Minecraft is in first person. Terraria games like that are in third person, but everybody who's tried to make this game has always said, well, do they have one with a GUI? Because I don't want to look at numbers and letters moving around, skipping around and updating and refreshing on my screen. And this is a game of dwarfs, is Paradox greenlighting somebody and giving them the funds, basically, to go out and make a game of dwarfs. A game that, at the heart, a game of... This is what I do. I just look up stuff. Paradox has given the company green light to make, basically, a graphical version of this. Do I have a company that's behind it, Paradox? I do not see on their main site.
So it might be within Paradox itself.
It's definitely. Paradox is an amazing publisher when it comes down to it. They take indie companies usually and fund them. They'll find... They're one of the few companies you'll find unique and interesting ideas in companies and say, no other publisher is going to fund you for this. We'll give you the money for
it. So how would you compare it to, say, like Valve and the whole Steam thing?
Why can't they make a strategic...
Valve is with Steam thing and Steam Greenlight and is, in essence, trying to make a subset of Kickstarter. And basically the idea with Valve, and everybody's complained about this on the back end in the industry, is, okay, you made crappy games go through this service. How did you greenlight, say, Revelations 2012, which is a horrible game made by a family, and it's just abysmal. But there's other games out there that you can find all over the internet that are 10 times better right now. What is your certification process? So Valve's greenlight is basically them saying, we don't have the time to look at all these games and give them an honest judgment. Let's let our community do it. So that's what Valve and Greenlight are doing. It's just Paradox for the longest time has been, before Kickstarter was the only real source to go, I have this unique and interesting game. Obviously EA won't fund me. Obviously Activision won't fund me. And Paradox has been one of those few companies who picks up a group and just says, this is a great idea. We believe you can make money on it. Sometimes they trip and fall. In the case of... I feel bad to saying it's Sword of the Stars 2. They've released some buggy games.
It so, happens.
Yeah, it happens from time to time. A company can't fall through completely.
Shit happens all
so,
the time.
So, we'll go back to Game of Dwarfs, funded by Paradox, made beautiful graphical interface now. You have your dwarfs. They start off in a little settlement underground. You can dig down levels upon levels, build out a base, find gold, find resources, use those resources to build things, make farms. The original best part about Dwarf Fortress was the unique complexity with traps, and I can build a room, and I can make a gate above a river that I can open up the gate, and I can make an airlock in that room. So now goblins ran into that room, I shut all the gates, open up the river thing, and murder all the goblins by suffocating them.
Fantastic.
Drowning them in water. It was an amazing idea and everything. A Game of Dwarfs is a lot more simplified. I made a spike trap on the wall. If anybody runs by it, it stabs them.
Like Orcs Must Die.
Yes. So it's kind of similar. So anybody who's looking for a graphical interface of Dwarf Fortress, you're not going to get it. But if you want something that's the closest graphical interface I've seen to a game like Dwarf Fortress, this is probably your best bet at the current moment.
Right.
There are some gripes I have with it. Dwarf's pathing issues and AI is abysmal. You tell your dwarf to go somewhere, sometimes it's... Well, the best is the combat. I tell a dwarf to attack something, the dwarf runs over to the creature. The creature and the dwarf run completely by each other, about by two or three blocks, turn around, run by each other once again, and eventually meet in the middle and start hitting each other. So, pathing in AI can sometimes be a little bit ridiculous. I tell my dwarfs, like, go build this stuff. And their little sleep meter that goes up to 200, so that when it goes down, like, close to zero, they need to sleep. Dwarf decides he needs to sleep ASAP and will sleep with an almost full sleep meter in a bunch of different cases I found. I've watched dwarfs and it's like, your sleep meter's at 70. You could wait till you're 30, but you're going to go to bed anyways. Thank you for being a lazy asshole. So the game's got its ups and downs. It's another Paradox. It has some bugs and the like. But like I said, if you're getting that hankering for making a, I want to dig underground like SimCity, killing goblins like Dwarf Fortress, you might want to take a look at it.
Okay.
It's in depth. It's an interesting game that I have to explain a lot about just to get around the fact of what it is.
Yeah.
It's its own genre. It definitely is. And if I look, they labeled it as simulation, strategy, and fantasy. So that should say enough. If it's a simulation and a strategy, those are two huge categories in itself.
Yeah.
So special.
Yep.
So, 0 to 5, what would you rate it so far?
It's hard to give it the 4.0 with bugs. I'm going to say 3.7.
Okay.
They patch it, you'd easily get a 4.2 with it. Like I said, I'd like a little bit more complexity out of it to get it up to closer to 5.
Yeah.
So maybe if anybody from Paradox ever hears this, add a little bit more complexity, especially for your trap system and for your any DLC or any expansion packs. And I'm leaning towards expansion packs. I'm getting sick and tired of seeing games with 80 different DLCs. And I saw the purchase tab. Mike, if you overuse that purchase tab, I'm out. I'm not going to buy beard dye for my dwarves.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That's there. Or at least the purchase tab is. You can buy paintings right now. But it isn't even with real life money. But I just saw that up there. And I was like, I could only imagine.
Yeah.
DLC decorations.
Next.
It's The Sims.
Yep. Okay. So, this is the part of the show where I bet you these two guys here are going to make fun of me while I try to explain. I'm not going to try to make any sort of movements like that. So, one of the Kinect games that came out, well, it was coming out a couple weeks, is the Nike Plus Kinect Training. It's a new exercise title. I remember seeing them showing it off at E3 in the Microsoft Presser event. And a demo came out for it this past week. I tried to give it a try, because as these two people know, my man cave, as it were...
Your man cave is...
Your man hut.
Yes!
I think it would be considered a 9x9 cell.
Yeah.
It's basically a 9x9 cell trap that, you know, you can't really play that. I mean, hell, like I said, when I play on my Kinect... downstairs, even in my, like, the longest room I've got, I'm still away from the friggin' thing about, like, 10 feet.
Yeah.
So,
need room for Kinect, and there's no way around it.
Yeah, that's that's the biggest flaw with Kinect.
And
so
the Kinect Zoom doesn't work.
Yeah.
What?
The Kinect Zoom.
No.
You bought it, and it
I
didn't
bought work. It was epic failure, and I was pissed off because of that.
Yeah.
So, I have to reorganize my room, I gotta, like, rearrange everything,
take apart
my
chairs.
Yep.
Which I finally helped him show how to do it properly.
Yep. Yep. And that's the thing with this game is some of the exercises it makes you do, you need to lie down.
You need at least a living room probably downstairs in your house.
Yes.
Because it feels like, well, at least with the Kinect you can be almost close to it. But if you're doing the whole setup with the Wii and stuff like that, you can do that. But with the Kinect, you need at least that. Like the 6 to 9 feet, basically.
Right.
Away from the TV.
And it'd be one thing if they could have it set up so you can do, like, the sit-ups and lunges and stuff towards the TV. But here, you have to be parallel to the TV.
Okay, so instead of, like, how the Kinect UFC game there, the UFC trainer game.
Yes.
Where you can do, like, you do all the stuff towards the thing. This one's actually doing it to the side.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, which makes it hard for me to really do
pay
most of the exercises.
To, like, what's going on the TV while doing the exercise.
Yeah, basically. That's the best way of really putting it. Now, granted, there is some really cool elements to it. It does read when you're doing a proper squat. It does read when you're doing... a push-up, right? It can read how your back, if your back is curved or if it's straight.
That's basically what the Kinect is good for. It's supposed to be able to map everything out on your body for the most part, where it just basically puts, you know, the joint sections of your body. So it should know where when you're doing
it. It's a motion capture system.
Yeah, it's a motion capture system. So it should be able to do that at least.
Right, but the issue, yet again, is you need to have a lot of room to do it properly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and most motion capture systems are located three-dimensionally around you. So it's basically like where you'd put surround sound speakers, that's where you'd put motion captures, not just on
which is what they're system. Saying is going to be what the next Kinect is going to be like.
Of course, because everybody's having issues with this Kinect.
Yeah.
You move your arm in front of your body, and all of a sudden you lose track.
Yeah, I mean, with the whole setup, like, that I really want is like how they did the gamer movie, where it's you walk into the room and the whole thing is the actual game system.
And that's what they're working on right now.
I need it now.
Didn't they patent that? They grabbed that as like the Star Trek system thing there.
Somewhat.
Something. Yeah, most likely. Yeah, it was kind of like that kind of setup where he walked into the room.
The holodeck.
Yeah.
But the workouts that he had me do, the squats, push-ups, jumps, lunges, and there's this one exercise they make you do called split decisions.
Okay.
But it's completely the opposite of what you're thinking. Have any of you seen the TV show Hole in the Wall?
Nope.
The game show, where you gotta
You gotta fit yourself into the friggin' thing. You gotta make the stupid little, like, you gotta pretend that, like, you're on, like, a roller coaster or something like that, so you put your arms up and you have to fit yourself through that hole or something like that, and if you do it wrong, you're gonna knock the whole thing out or
That's basically what that game is like.
That was a pain in the ass in the first place to play the Kinect game. That sucked.
Yeah.
That one was horrible.
You're going to notice I'm silent here. I do not believe in a lot of what the Kinect has.
Right.
It's pretty much, to me, it's Guitar Hero. It's the peripheral of Guitar Hero. It's the guitar. Well, now you get the Kinect. What can you do with it? You can dance. You can do exercises. It's like the Wii Fit. The Wii Fit got a pad.
Yeah, but you can't play like any military games, even though they've tried it and failed miserably.
Well, you're going to have lightsabers. No, that's the Wii, and the Wii didn't even do it too.
Well, I mean, like, that's the other thing that confuses me. Like, Ghost Recon, you can do the whole setup with the,
the guns.
Take apart the gun, put the gun together, and test fire it. But it's not like you're doing, like, the trigger finger, because you can't read that. You got to open your hand and close it to fire the gun.
No. Yeah.
Yes.
That's way too
It's not simple. Natural.
It isn't. But I say, if you have the space, it could be a good exercise game, but if you don't have the space, I say stick with Wii Fit Plus or your gym membership.
Yeah.
Mostly your gym membership.
Yeah. I could give this maybe a 3.5 out of 5 for the ones I was able to do, because I felt sore afterwards, so I know I got some sort of workout out of it.
Yep.
Ouch. Hey, thanks.
You want to hit XCOM?
XCOM, yeah, that one actually I was interested in because we at least got to see this at PAX East, but then I also got to play the demo.
If you guys want to
actually play the
game, take a look at this right here on Steam. This beautiful little stat: 66 hours played.
Holy shit! In-depth
interview. I have been obsessed with this game.
You know what, Tay? How about fuck you, Mister? I've got a laptop that's actually really good.
I have been vegetating on my couch. I have been vegetating between this and catching up. Not watching. I think it's over. Heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's over.
I've been jumping between those two things like all week, and I can't get like a game of Dwarfs. Almost took a backseat to this game. If you want my review of the demo, way too short, way too easy. If you want my review of the actual game. Firaxis is Firaxis. They make amazing games. But Civilization V's multiplayer is still unplayable, and you've just released another major expansion pack.
Son of a bitch.
This game is amazing. This game is actually hard. It's nice
The original was very difficult, I remember.
Yes, the mode in it is classic that they have instead of hard. And then they have, like, Expert, which is just cheap. The fans of the original XCOM aren't going to like it as much. There aren't as many stats to customize. Instead of having multiple planes and being able to have multiple teams go to multiple areas, you don't get to do that. What you get is one plane, make a decision of which area the other two are going to suffer.
And so try not to have your soldiers die.
Yep. Because the stat system is severely limited, a lot more. I'm sorry, there's a lot of RNG. A lot of your stuff in this game is going to be done based on dice rolls. The cover system, make the best of your odds when you're doing it. This game is chess. Overwatch, if somebody else moves, your guy fires, but it makes him use up that turn. It's your friend, trust me. You try to lure enemies in the traps, especially in Classic. You try to make ambushes happen. You don't charge right in. You're going to lose your whole team.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing this game and you don't play it on Iron Man mode, I'm sorry, that's man mode. If you do not play it on that mode, you might as well not play this. If your character dies, you shouldn't be able to load the save. He's dead. Yep. Guess what? You're going to have to retrain a new one. It's part of XCOM. It's part of the game. Aw, crap. This crappy little alien here just crit my guy, and now all this work I have for this guy's gone.
And that's what makes the game such a great challenge.
And that's what it's supposed to be.
Even though the training one, that one sucked because I know that I wouldn't have sent that guy towards him to, like, disarm him with a grenade in hand.
Yeah. It's more like, this is what not to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, amazing game, but like I said, it's for Axis. You are playing with an RNG. I've had a 98% chance to hit from point-blank range. I've missed the shot. I have had enemies sitting behind cover that I've hit the cover, and then the enemy shoots at me, shoots completely through solid objects, and hits me from time to time. I've had positions where I'm sitting there, it's like, how am I being flanked? There's obviously a car in front of me. So it has its glitches. And the worst of all, I can stand some of that stuff. I can play around. I just make sure I'm in better cover. The one that I hate, and if they don't patch this soon, I'm just going to throw my computer out the window. If I am playing on a really hard difficulty, and I have a full squad of pretty damn elite guys, you do not spawn really hard monsters in the middle of my troops.
By the way,
throw that thing out. Could I have it?
That's what I was about to say. He's just going to be right out the window waiting to catch
it. I'll just be like, out the window.
I've been pretty far into the game, and I've had a pretty damn elite troop, and I've had it spawn a whole bunch of really high health, really hard-hitting guys right in the middle of my guys. Paradox. Not Paradox. This is Firaxis. Firaxis, please, for the love of God, it breaks immersion. If you're going to spawn enemies on me, which they should really wander around and stuff in the background, but if you're going to pull the whole spawning enemies, do it out of my line of sight so my next move, my guys walk into the group. Instead of just dropping them in the middle of, say, here's six soldiers, we're going to put three enemies in the middle of them. Have fun. That is three enemies spawn, and if I don't kill them all, one throws a grenade and kills three guys.
Yep.
It is the best worst game I've played in quite a long time.
You heard that? Best worst game.
Did I hear that right? Best worst game ever?
Because these guys want to go, I'll wrap it up and say 4.8. It's amazing. They'd get the 5.0. If for the love of God, they can just fix the bugs.
Okay.
Which will probably be a month down the road.
And yeah.
You'll be so far gone on this game, it won't matter.
I'm still going to be playing it. I have a feeling it totally sidelined Borderlands 2.
Wow.
Wow.
Completely sidelined. I got Torchlight 2, Borderlands 2, not even close to the time. Torchlight 2 is at 6 hours. Borderlands 2 only made it up to 11 hours.
Ooh.
This game has annihilated my free time. And you know that's exactly what I'm going to do after we end this.
Time vampire!
I'm just going to turn this game on, and I have a full squad of rookies, and I'm doing amazing because my previous squad got wiped out. Now I got to try to bring my full squad back.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
All right.
So, on that note, let's stick a fork into this podcast. Remember, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bossandbanishbrigade.com. For the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of all of us, you can reach us at, or you can follow us at www.b3crew.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Blank's on Diplomatic, and Tag is
thinking about still not even using Twitter.
We're also on Facebook.com/BostonBastardGate, or otherwise, if you go up to the top, you should be able to just type in Boston Bastardgate on the search bar, and then you'll find us.
I do read Facebook, so if anybody is trying to contact me for some weird reason, I look at my email.
That will
get I look at my Facebook. So. I look at Boston Bastard Brigade's Facebook. Everybody likes every picture known to man.
Yeah.
That's good. Like, that's a good job. We take the pictures.
I take awesome pictures. Apparently, I should have gone into photography. But if I get my criminal justice thing, I'll be able to do photography and murder scenes.
Yeah. All right.
So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Lilonic.
Hey.
Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps. Happy Halloween, bitches.
I'll bite you.